DC sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before. Right.
Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Days like today make me happy that I'm not like a bona fide newsbreaker by any means, because I can only imagine what people's phones look like.
Yeah.
Getting information on the various movings and shakings, trades, releases, conversations.
I would hate to be Aaron Wilson, man. He take this stuff serious, man.
Very much so.
And I'm glad that him and the other folks that are covering this, Jonathan Alexander, so on and so forth, take it so seriously. So I could just kind of lean on their reporting. That their reporting is picked up as well as the Texans creeping their way to that 53-man limit that they have to be at for before 3 p.m. today. In fact, we are less under 2 hours.
It's going to be hot and heavy.
T-minus 1 hour and 56 minutes till the Texans have to get to 53.
Keep your head on a swivel, Figgy.
That's 100%. As of right now, I think we are at 70 per my numbers here.
You're a guy, though.
Yeah, there is a couple more additions to the proverbial 53-man graveyard here. And both of them, very intriguing, I will say, as Solomon Bird, pass rusher, has been released. He did not make the 53-man roster. But the one that's been really interesting to me, in addition to, we talked about it a little bit, and we probably will talk more about it, the Miles Bryant release after Arthur Millett goes, so they don't have either of their those guys that we feel like sit in behind Jalen Petrie. Our guy, or my guy, I should say, Jakob Johnson, the fullback that they brought in, familiar with the New England, you know, kind of style of system, he has been released. I know that there's been, you know, talk about, I know Seth kind of talked about this, is he did not seem all that super impressed by his play, but I felt like, all right, you have a fullback, he's getting up there, he's, you know, lead blocking, he seems like you can utilize him a little bit out of the backfield as a tight end. He won't make this roster as of right now, but someone who as of right now still is British Brooks.
Right.
Do you think this was very much a decision of one versus the other, or could this possibly even still be a thing where eventually British Brooks goes? Like, we're still seeing cut downs happen. That's what happened for me when I looked at, oh, there goes Arthur Millett. Does that then mean Miles Bryant is safe? And then no, he goes.
Yeah, no, that's certainly a possibility, because again, there's so many players that are going to be out there that maybe they've had their eye on, et cetera. But for now, I think the decision is British Brooks, because of the reasons that I felt like he kind of had an edge all along. I mean, just really versatile, and not just, oh, a special teams guy that does one thing. No, he's a special teams guy that does a lot of different things on various teams. Could even play tight end in a pinch. Doesn't mean he's still not going to get cut.
Yeah,
like
I don't know about that tight end thing.
But no, but he has. I mean, he's done it in camp. He's switched over there a little bit, run some drills and stuff with him. But I'm not saying you make a living with it. But no, he's got that so much versatility. But still doesn't mean he's not going to, you know, go the Miles Bryant route.
I'm wondering if he's safe, if for no other reason than looking at, you mentioned special teams.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a number of guys that were brought in this year that felt like, oh, they're special teams guys, that this is really a nod to Frank Ross, like Nick Neiman. Who is it here, right? It feels like this could be I need a British Brooks who has flashed damn near every preseason game on special teams, as much as one can flash in that role. And so I wonder how much of that is also he does that. Because, again, going back to last year, feeling like I was in this same space, in the same seat, we were talking about, oh, could British Brooks kind of give you some of that fullback? He didn't give you fullback type stuff. Mm-mm. He just continued to be that special teams guy and those types. So I don't know if they're going to, like, line him up as fullback or even go as far as putting him tight end in any of those. But it might be enough that he's just consistently a guy that does what Frank Ross needs on a roster where Frank Ross needs his guys.
It might be, but he also has that in the bag if they need it. You know, it's not going to be a British Brooks, not going to be your first choice, you know, at fullback necessarily, or anywhere else. But it's in the bag. He's done it. So maybe that's where he gets the advantage as well.
Now, also something that should be noted is Jakob Johnson could return on the practice squad, apparently, per a source that talked to Aaron Wilson. Now, with that being the case, because the thing that I liked about bringing in a more, you know, I always forget what the name of the system is, but the system that we've seen kind of happen more with the Patriots, is there Is there a possibility for you, or like, how do you view this offense if there is no fullback that you truly trust to put in it? Like, it feels like that was a good part of what they were doing. Because I, especially looking at where your tight ends are right now, you got Dalton Schultz, who I don't know how much you want to be. Actually, I know exactly how much you want, and it's not a high level to be doing real fullback type stuff.
Yeah,
Cade Stover, we saw do a little bit of it. I don't know how you feel about that. But then Harrison Bryant isn't that guy either. Do you have options on this roster to really do that?
I think, you know, British Brooks and Cade Stover, you mentioned them, because certainly, and maybe that's why British Brooks was getting some reps with the tight ends, at least early in camp, you know, which we saw, like, to flex them into the backfield. You know, flex. We saw Cade Stover flex into the backfield on certain plays. And so is that a way that you can sort of save a roster spot as well? You still use those guys as lead blockers out of the backfield, even though they might line up somewhere else? It could be. I would say Cade Stover and British Brooks right now.
You know, the thing that's really hitting me more and more as we go, and it's always an undercurrent of getting down to the 53-man roster. You know that the 53-man roster, as they get, you know, at 3 p.m. today, is not going to be the 53-man roster that they see a majority of the season. It might not even be the 53-man roster by the time you get to week one, as evidenced by in Rappaport making mention of the fact that Trent Brown is going to be on the practice squad, and once he's healthy, they expect him to make his way back to the 53-man roster. There's a decent amount of this where they might just kind of be moving and shaking, and then this thing looks a little bit more conventional maybe when this comes to – because, again, this is a place where you don't have a fullback right now. You still have British Brooks, but we'll see what that looks like as things continue to go. You don't have a guy who fits as a traditional backup to Jalen Petrie in that nickelback role that we know is super important in this defense, except for maybe Jimmy Ward, who I don't know if he's going to be ready for you to go. I definitely don't feel like he's ready for you to go week one or anytime very soon because of the legal issues that he's dealing with. Like, it feels like there's still going to be opportunities for some moving and shaking here in the immediate future, even beyond 3 p.m.
No, there is going to be. In fact, after 3 p.m. is when you start really getting, more clarity on what everybody's doing. There could still be some moves. But, I think right now, and by the way, Aaron Wilson is tweeting that the trade of Cam Robinson is looking less likely at the moment, but they're still searching for a trade partner. So there's still a lot going on here.
That would make me feel a lot better. But again, and I'm sorry to harp on this because I know people are like, oh, this is so negative. Jakob Johnson going, we were talking about, you know, obviously Joe Mixon not being available for the first 4 weeks and depending on when he comes back. The bigger bodies and some of those things for affecting the run game, I'm not going to lie, it changes kind of, I'm side-eyeing a little bit what this offense is going in, especially because of how much is of the responsibility now falls squarely on CJ. And I know it's a good thing to have him and his talents be able to show up, but we got to remember, they're asking a tough thing of him. I don't think that he's incapable of it, but let's put that in perspective, if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, what we're asking to do is be Tom Brady. Right?
Like, to a degree. Yes.
To a degree. Yeah. I know that you're not asking him to be exactly who Tom Brady, but that's kind of, make the diagnoses and the things that Tom Brady did and the reasons why he was such an incredible player, because we know it wasn't like the arm or like the, you know, the speed or anything. It was the brain.
Mm-hmm.
We want you to do those brain things, but also the thing that you have to remember is Tom Brady is doing that in, and we're comparing like eras that are, you know, similar, 03, 04, the early parts of his career. 20 years later.
Yeah.
Defenses are disguising those looks that he's making those reads on, and you're trying to, you know, have the ball come out quickly if you're passing the ball or make those decisions quickly. You're doing that against a defense that's not giving you those answers as early or as easily as Tom Brady was able to get them, and we already acknowledged that Tom Brady was really good at reading this.
Yeah, and even 4 or 5 years ago, toward the end of Brady's career, made it so much more difficult. No, look, if you're banking on do what Tom Brady did, you aren't asking the impossible at this point in C.J. Stroud's career. But if you're asking him to just get us into the right place and get us started, in the right direction, I think, he's shown some progress there. You just have to realize it's going to still take, and this is what kind of, I don't know, bothering me is the right word, but sort of getting my attention today, you still have to rely so much on the run game. And the Joe Mixon news is just kind of gnawing at me, because what's that run game going to be? His life gets so much easier if you have that run game.
And then, again, with that run game, I like the notion of having that additional fullback, that additional big body to help clear some things open. And as of right now, Jakob Johnson not on the 53-man roster, and the dude that seems like he's best suited to do that mm-hmm. is British Brooks, a guy that I don't know that I feel that confident operating just fully as a run as a fullback. I know that other people feel differently, and that's fine. It just, yeah, the more and more this is kind of, I have questions, and ultimately, it doesn't matter what our questions are. It matters what they're able to do on the field and how confident mm-hmm. they are. But the 53-man cutdown is starting to make some things, you know, bring some things to light. And it's kind of it's intriguing to see. Eli Cox has been waived, the third center. I don't mm-hmm. think that surprises anybody. He didn't feel like he was at all in the running mm-hmm. to be on the 53-man no. roster. But we continue to cut down there. How do you feel about this from the 8-3-2? Because we were talking about, like, the backup nickel. The idea of Kamari Lassiter being your backup nickel. I don't hate the idea of him being able to play inside.
Yeah.
The immediate question after that then is what?
Yeah. What do you do on the outside?
There you go.
Yeah.
And I don't know that you have an answer that feels good enough. Like, even Jalen Smith, I like him.
Maybe Jalen Reed?
That is true. Jalen Reed, yeah. There is kind of reporting. I think it was mm-hmm. Aaron Wilson as well saying that it seems like he is coming along health-wise and mm-hmm. he might be able to play sooner rather than later. So the thought that I was kind of going into this with was, maybe he ends up on a physically unable to perform, you know, reserve plays. List or whatever,
yeah.
and you miss 4 weeks. Maybe he plays early, and mm-hmm. but the only thing about that is he did not have very much camp. So the idea that he's mm-hmm. going to get out here and step down and, you know, jump into that Jalen Petrie role, if needed early on, is a little tough. But,
yeah.
I mean, obviously, this has been a, if you want to give D'Amico Ryans, Matt Burke, some plaudits, you can say that they've done a great job of getting their guys ready to come in and perform in the system at a young age. Obviously, Kamari Lassiter, Kalen Bullock, and you can go even in the years prior.
No, they've consistently done that.
They've consistently gotten yeah. young guys ready to play in the system. So maybe that's what it is. Maybe they believe so strongly in Jalen Reed, even as a depth guy for safety. Maybe that goes even further to that interior spot at the nickel.
All right, so let's look on the defensive side, especially in the secondary, where there has not been any movement, you know, and what it might mean for the nickel and for the backup cornerback role. D'Angelo Ross.
Still here. Still holding on. In fact, all the cornerbacks, I have not seen any cuts there besides, the nickel cornerback role with Mullett
mm-hmm.
and Bryant. But you still got Arnett, Tremont Smith,
yeah.
D'Angelo Ross. All those guys still in the mix here as of right now.
Yeah, and so, look, there's still, what'd you have, like 18 players still to?
So I have it down to 69, which is nice, which would mean that we're 16 players away from getting
16.
To your number.
Yeah, so some of these are still going to move on, but some are going to be added. But it is interesting, the players that are still there in the secondary are all players, familiar names outside of necessarily Russ Yeast, but names that have been here. So it'll be interesting to see how they play that at corner and nickel.
I mean, the idea of Jalen Reed maybe being on this 53-man roster,
I
don't mind that.
Experience.
That kills Rush East, doesn't it?
Yeah.
He's the next man out safety-wise.
Yeah,
I mean, again, assuming that all those things end up coming to fruition.
And what happens with Jimmy Ward?
There's a lot of questions to still be answered with this team. What are you looking for? Which one are you still – what questions still exist for you, if any, right now?
Oh, well, clearly, Justin Watson, Braxton Berrios, back end of the wide receiver position room. Cephas, there's been a decision on him, nothing on some of these others, but I think I've thought Braxton Berrios is on this squad, so I don't know what that means for Justin Watson. And then the tackle position is just, I mean, where is the depth? And if they can keep Cam Robinson.
Right, if they don't actually
move
on
from back, to the practice squad, well, then maybe you'll feel a little better. But right now, the depth after the first five is not strong.
No. We're looking for it. We're watching all of these spaces. I imagine Graham Mertz is going to be one of those ones that they eventually try and see about getting on the practice squad. How many running backs they keep? Because as of right now, you are sitting with your complement of all the Woody Marks. Jawar Jordan, has he been made? I don't think I saw him. He's still out there. There's still cuts to be made that are happening right now. And we'll see. We'll see what it continues to look like. Did I miss a Tremont Smith here? Because I'm looking at Jonathan Alexander, and he's making note of the guys who he feels are locks between Derek Stingley, Lassiter, and Smith, Arthur Mullett, and Miles Bryant being gone. He mentions D'Angelo Ross and Damon Arnett, and I'm like, did I miss somebody? So I don't know. And then the question I wanted to ask, actually, I'm glad this text came in. They said Henry Toto for Nickelback.
Huh.
How much do you think that this possibility of them not having those backup nickelbacks, how much of that is a vote of confidence about the ability for them to play three linebackers and play base defense and have Christian Harris and maybe EJ Speed on the field to maybe do some coverage type things.
Yeah, I don't know how much confidence I would have in that. I get Christian Harris and EJ Speed maybe would be better, but it's not as good as a more sleek, you know, cover guy like a nickelback would be. But do you feel like that would be an option? I think they might do it, but not specifically for the pass.
I don't like the idea of having to do it, especially because the name of the game in offense in this league right now is force the defense cover. Into not even just cover. Mismatches. You're right there.
Yeah.
But force them into mismatches and you'd be immediately giving that away. But that's kind of some of what this Texans defense is built to do. Whatever mismatch you think you have, we just play so fast and free that we can make up for it. I do wonder, are you giving up too much in the place where you start, where you have EJ and Christian Harris out there with due respect to their speed and athleticism? If a team comes out and you were in this, you know, and they, I mean, obviously you can match packages. Are they capable of really handling up even if the offense is in more of a bigger package? And if they do one of those things where they, you know, they shift what the offensive line is or shift what the rather formation is, are they able to flex and cover all those different variations that an offense can throw at you?
I think you're going to be attacked if that's the case. They're going to pick at you.
Oh, no. My countryman, Casey Osai, it seems like, is gone.
He gone?
Oh, no. That's sad. That's sad to see.
And then you just found out about yesterday?
Hey, wait, no, whoa. I knew about it. I was just neglecting my responsibilities. That's different. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. One thing I wanted to mention before I toss this up there. Jake Myers is expected. This Astros, I know I'm sliding some things in here that you did not expect. Jake Myers is expected to have a rehab start or have a rehab assignment starting tomorrow in AAA with Sugarland. So that is also a good thing that we've not talked about nearly enough. The Jake Myers, and when is he going to return? Seems like he is also on the mend and should possibly be on the horizon as a reinforcement for your Astros. So that should be good.
That's going to be good to get, at least see him out there and maybe get back here a little earlier. More reinforcement, especially where they need it in the outfield.
For sure. All right.
Yeah.
Coming up next, it's time where we hand things over to Figgy Fig for the mixtape. Yeah, that's right. Fig, what you got for us?
Yeah, so a restaurant decided to do a little rebrand, and they got a lot of backlash over this. I was not expecting this, and I'll let you know what that restaurant is and what they did to address it.
All right, let's find out about that next.
DC sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before.
Right. Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, it is the mixtape in the loop, Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a Tuesday. Happy Tuesday to everyone out there. And earlier, I give credit to Lopez. He's our correspondent when it comes to this. Because he broke the news of Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, I guess, officially engaged.
They are. They're over there.
I had a big
on the sales side.
The break.
They are legitimately out of their offices talking about this right now.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up too, because we got an email. We got an email from the big boss, and it says this: "Team, I realize it's going to be hard for many to work this afternoon after hearing the news of Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce's engagement. I know we have been eagerly waiting for this announcement, and now entirely freaking out. Take some deep breaths. For those who celebrate, we are kicking off an hour of Taylor Swift on Mix 96.5. Salute to Mix 96.5 over there.
And I see you, Kix Rocks. Kix Rocks on the YouTube said, all right, I'm out. So you're going over to Mix to catch the I see you.
Look, I'm switching the music.
I see
I was going to ask y'all this. How would y'all feel if I came up with a proposal? If we play nothing but Taylor Swift during the breaks, would you like to play that, do that? Or listen to the regular commercial breaks featuring the law firm of Eric Dick?
Give me T-Swift.
See, at first I was, actually, I'm still going to go with the commercials because I like
you
getting
paid. You can't do
paid.
Taylor Swift for
give me T-Swift.
It's about three, maybe a one and a half songs throughout the break.
No, I look, I can listen to Taylor Swift if I need to. I usually don't, with no disrespect to her. It's just
713-572-4610. What y'all want to do?
But me personally, I'm invested in the money that come in from these advertisers. You got to understand
that. But let's say you get the money too. You still get the money.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah, Taylor Swift all throughout the commercial breaks.
Yeah, man.
And then we come back like a regular show.
Yeah.
Or the regular commercials featuring Eric Dick.
Give me T-Swift.
There's a couple of T-Swift songs that I do rock with for sure. So, yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah. Okay. Boy, dude, they are bouncing off the walls in this building.
Yeah.
They are
yeah.
bouncing off the walls.
It's yeah. crazy.
It is.
It's crazy. Salute to them. All right, so I didn't even, speaking of bouncing off the walls, a lot of people have been bouncing off the walls over this,
mm-hmm.
and I ain't really give a damn, if we want to be brutally honest, but Cracker Barrel decided to do a little rebrand with their logo.
They took the dude off.
Yeah.
And the barrel.
And the barrel.
The barrel, they took the dude off. I think they're going to change up the insides too, maybe paint the walls white, mm-hmm. they try to brighten it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, a lot of people are very upset upset over this.
Yeah.
And they were so upset to the point Cracker Barrel had to make a statement.
Oh, really?
Yep. They released a statement over this. They said, I guess, in a statement titled, "Our promise to you. The company acknowledged the criticism and pledged to retain Uncle Herschel," who was the guy that was
mm-hmm.
on. Oh, he had a name?
Yeah. I didn't even know it was a real guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm shocked he even got a name. But they pledged to retain Uncle Herschel's image and his branding, including on menus, roll signs, and in-store display, but not on a new logo. And I guess if everybody is worried, I guess everything else going to stay the same. The food going to stay the same and all that stuff. They're not changing anything on the menu.
Mm-hmm.
But people was really upset about this. Me personally, I didn't really care. To me, the logo kind of reminded me of the Super Bowl graphic, the new Super Bowl graphic, yeah. where it was just kind of plain. But it seemed like that's where we're going when it comes to branding.
Someone said, bring back the segregation thing. here's the thing is like the idea of like the country store vibe. I do understand that that was part of the charm is the word that I'll use for Cracker Barrel. The thing about it is I think the people that were upset thought that it was a very much that, when in all reality, I think that this is a less of that thought and more was just, hey, Cracker Barrel as a corporation, as a business, their target demographic was probably getting older and older. And they were like, how do we make this younger? Well, let's make this clean and fresh and modern and honestly modernize the building so that like the real estate becomes a lot easier because there's not a way if a Cracker Barrel has to close down for you to sell that to another. What other company goes into that Cracker Barrel and is able to be like, this is our store that fits nicely in this? So I think that they were doing that. They just happened to catch people.
Yeah.
They decided that they wanted to be mad.
I didn't know a lot of people really liked the logo that much mad.
I don't know if they necessarily do. I think.
Well, the new logo is very unimaginative and bland. But let's be honest.
I don't think. Not enough for me to be upset about it.
I don't think it was that big a deal. I think this is as simple as, oh, you're changing something? I hate it. This is like, especially big stores, big restaurants, rebranding is a huge risk. I don't care if it's Cracker Barrel or, you know, Landry's or anything that, you know, anytime you say we're making a change, people, the immediate reaction, the gut reaction is, oh, no, I hate it. I think it's as simple as that.
Oh, yeah, we terrible. We hate change.
Yeah.
Somebody said lies. They changed the hash brown casserole. I can't speak to I can't remember the last time I've been to Cracker Barrel, to be honest, although I do have fond memories of the food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's right. That hash brown casserole is really good, man.
Yeah.
That's a go-to.
It's been a while. I can't remember even. I remember being there, but not any specifics.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. They probably need to, what they need to change up is all that damn clutter when you walk in there, man.
They are apparently. Yeah,
I think that's just people want that. People want that throwback feel of the clutter.
Every time you go in there, you just all up in the way. It's a whole bunch of junk. It's like a hoarder.
Yeah,
like a hoarder little house.
Yeah.
DC sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before.
Right. Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it's the Mixtape in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. I kind of want to do something. Maybe I'll do this once in a while, but right now I want to play a clip for y'all, and I just want to get y'all a live reaction to it. I'm not going to tell y'all what the clip is about or anything. I'm going to just play it, and just raise your hand if you want me to pause it, all right?
I'm going to start by taking a piece of Wagyu beef and putting it into a bunch of honey. $200 in steak, $300 in honey.
Well, there's the pause. I was like, once I heard Wagyu beef, I was like, oh, this is the Lopez special. You got it, dog.
Wagyu beef does not need anything. And I'm out. Like if this were, you know, one of those shows, you know, and for that reason I'm out, you know, I'm already out. Well, he said Wagyu beef, and then he said he's going to put it in honey.
Yeah, $300 worth of honey, and it's a $200 Wagyu steak.
He's a big fat dummy. he's a big fat dummy. Stop it. I'm out right now. You can continue it for Reggie, but Wagyu, real Wagyu?
Look, I'm pissing off steak Twitter and barbecue Twitter at this point.
Don't forget, you already made mad Cracker Barrel Twitter, which I did not realize was happening until, what was it, the last week
But go ahead if you want to, but I'm out. Reggie might want to hear more.
The lid, put it on. Into the oven it goes. 45 minutes at 250. Take the lid off and look at that, you guys. Cooked a perfect 120 degrees internal. I'm just going to go ahead and take that out.
He said with a lid.
He dunked it in honey.
Yeah, he buried it in honey.
He so put it in like lid. So he basically like
one of those steel pans, you know, the
like one of those little circular pans.
Yeah, like a pot.
Yeah. Let honey drip off. We don't need that much, and put it onto this rack. Go ahead while it's resting. Scrape off some of that excess honey because we don't need that much. Come with some black pepper, and then I have this volcanic salt from Hawaii. Sprinkle a little bit of that on there for flavor. Okay, it's been 10 minutes. We're going to come over here, throw this down onto the piping hot pan. We're going to let this cook up for 2 minutes. We're not going to need to put oil in the pan because look at all the fat oozing out of this steak. So we're going to go ahead and flip it.
Still fat showing up through all this honey?
I'm like appalled and
offended. I'll retweet the video for the guys who actually want to see this.
They don't. But not if they
do
have,
it. Do it anyways.
Not if they have any taste buds.
Do it anyways.
Minutes. Look at that sear and crust, you guys. Don't mind this black stuff. That's just the crust or the burnt honey.
Burnt honey on
don't mind
steak.
This black stuff, guys. It's just the burnt honey. Salt. Why do you think that's a good idea?
Salt and pepper, period. And not even a lot of that. That's it.
Okay, it's been 2 minutes. We're going to take this off. Going to set this down on the cutting board. Got to cut into strips. So that's what we're going to do right now. Cuts through like butter. Cooked perfectly, you guys, but we're not done yet. We're going to come with a little bit more honey. Give it a little drizzle. And you can actually eat this with your hands. Just pick it up. And that's how you cook Wagyu and honey.
What were the comments like on this?
It was, he was kind of getting roasted a little bit.
Yeah. I imagine one of the comments was, Big Mama, your arm. Like, how much honey do you need, man? It's a steak.
Yeah, it was a lot of honey. He just like buried the steak in the honey, man. I'm like, good Lord.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
What was the point again? I forgot what we were doing.
I just wanted to get y'all reaction.
Oh, okay, cool. Gotcha. I was like, I feel like I'm supposed to be getting towards something. Nope. Mm-hmm. Just a weird way to cook steak.
All right, it's the Mixtape in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Have y'all been keeping up with the jackpot?
Oh, the Powerball?
Yeah, the Powerball. It is at an estimate of $850 million.
Have y'all ever been a part of one of them groups of people that are like, oh, let's all put in and buy tickets?
I'm glad you said that because I was about to ask y'all this. I was wondering if you guys were interested. I'm talking to just y'all two.
Just us two.
Yeah, all three of us. Would you be interested in doing a little pot?
Yeah.
And try to.
Oh, I thought you were going to stop there. I was like, no, officer, I would not.
Yeah, just get in and try to put in for a ticket. Yeah. And
How many lines are we going to buy? How many?
Hell, entries? I don't know.
What are y'all talking? Y'all talk about some other things.
Pot, lines.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah. We're talking about the lottery.
You want to buy five? How much is it to buy five with the cash option and all that stuff?
Man, buddy, I don't know. I only play the lottery around this time when everybody hype it up.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, damn, I was talking to my wife this morning. She's like, I think we should play the lottery.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of got me thinking, would y'all rather do a little pot like this or play separately because we're a little stingy?
Nah, I'll share $850 million with you guys. I only need a couple million. Yeah.
I don't play.
Who going to hold the ticket?
I'll hold the ticket.
Don't trust him. Don't trust him. Sorry.
That brother going to take a retirement early.
Sorry.
Remember when Lopez was here?
Oh, we won. Let me call Lopez.
All of a sudden, Man, it's been a while. Yeah, exactly. The number you have called has been discontinued.
I see him at work. Next thing you know, we get an email. Yeah. John Lopez has retired. No longer works here.
Last seen in Brazil.
You pull up to his house and it's just empty.
Empty.
I'm sorry. My last Google search is, countries you cannot be extradited from.
Somebody said somebody from South Houston won yesterday. Really?
Oh, really?
Is that so?
Good for them.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, I think I was in that. On that ticket with him.
I bet you do.
I bet you think that. I bet he gone right now.
Somebody said $3 each. All right. I feel like the odds are so, and I don't buy into
ridiculous.
The odds. So I don't ever do that. I would absolutely be the person who in the company, like if everybody put in, I'd be like, nah, I'm good. And then y'all win. And I'm just like, it's fine. It's fine.
You would not be like that.
I honestly, really and truly, I made that decision. I got to live with it. There'd be a little bit of salt in the background, but it's cool. It's fine.
All right. I'll get y'all out of here on this. It's Mixtape in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Have y'all ever been around somebody who was in prison, tell prison stories?
Oh, yeah. Like real prison you're talking
about. Yeah, real prison.
The big house.
Just, yeah. Like, I grew up around people who been to jail and all that.
I knew a couple, yeah.
And to me, I think it's one of the funniest things ever when they describing the situation in prison and how animated and all that stuff they be. Mm-hmm. So apparently, it's a guy, a rapper by the name of Fat Joe, who has a podcast with Jadakiss, who's another rapper. And I think this podcast is called Joe and Jada.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
And here is Fat Joe talking about one of his prison stories. And see how animated he gets.
Quick, I got me an Italian chef. They had a chef down in the thing, Chef Junior. He make me homemade ice cream, mozzarella. They would steal the clams and even make me linguine and clam sauce, all type of shit. We were dumbing out, right? Then I got the guy. I got pick up a guy. I told you about Hong Kong's Mongolian. So in jail.
How you think the Hong Kong's Mongolian?
Because he was the guy nobody wanted.
What?
And so in jail, if you white, you with the white guys. You black, you with the black guy. You with the Spanish. He was a white guy that the white guys ain't want. But I saw him. He had that brute strength. So I said, my man, come with us, man. You eat with us. You with us. And I gave him a name, Hong Kong's Mongolian.
That didn't explain
and one day he comes up to me because the guy's partially slow.
Oh,
I mean, but he's just no. He's not slow. He's just slow. He's a little bit off. He ain't go past second grade.
Damn, second grade.
Give him at least
sixth grade.
No, this guy take out 10.
Give him six, seven. This guy would take out
10, 20 guys. Like the white guys was looking like, oh, shit. It got to be something to this. Fat Joe snatched up. This guy, and I'm calling him Hong Kong's Mongolian. He's walking through. What's up, boss? What's up? They looking like we made a mistake. We didn't recruit this.
They let him go.
He went past all the drafts, and I seen the sparkle in him. I said, yo, this is Hong Kong's Mongolian. He come up to me one day. He said, boss. I said, what's up? He said, I just realized Hong Kong and Mongolia is two different places. I said, my man, shut the fuck up. Be happy I gave you a day. Get the fuck out of here. Okay, boss.
That story.
Jail stories are so funny. I still don't understand the purpose of this story.
There wasn't a purpose, one. Yeah. He started telling, basically acting like he was going to tell us the name, and ultimately he left it with, you lucky I gave you a name, so there is no purpose for the
name.
Yeah,
what was the purpose of the name?
More questions than it answered. However, it was hilarious to listen to, and that's the purpose of the story.
It started out with a hell of a meal, too.
Yeah.
Like, well, what was going on with the meal?
He sounded like he was Pablo Escobar in jail, man.
Yeah, did the
and the best part
Kong
is all that's
Mongolian
probably, half of that's
it?
Probably lies.
Yeah.
He acted like he was running to jail, which he probably wasn't.
See, that's the thing about jail stories, man. Like, you'd be thinking like, damn, all of that's happening?
Yeah.
I remember some homeboys calling me from prison, and it's sound like they were having a blast.
Yeah, they weren't.
I'm like,
they
were. No, seriously, they were in there yelling and having fun and laughing. I'm like, damn. He said somebody was playing a video game. I'm like, video game? He was calling from an iPhone. I'm like, damn.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
but
you don't want to go.
I don't know what to say to any of that, but thank you for doing it. That's the Mixtape right here in the Loop on Sports Rails. Did not anticipate Fat Joe's
prison story.
All right, that's wow. You never know what you're gonna get in the Mixtape, but it's always gonna be fun. Appreciate you, Fig. at the Figgy Fig on social media if you see something mixtape worthy that he wants to throw, that he'll throw in here. All right. Coming up next, we get ready to hand things off to the fellas of the drive. Where do we stand with the 53-man cut down as of right now? We'll get into it next.
I'm not going to lie. That was a mixtape that threw me all off my bearings. I'm still like, wait a minute.
Got Wagyu steaks and honey, got prison stories that go nowhere.
I felt like that was a mixtape just to piss everybody off because I started off with Taylor Swift. That's strike one
True facts.
Then I mentioned.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah, no. And then I mentioned, you rather hear some commercials with a law firm. That ticked everybody off.
You did that too. That's true.
Yeah. The Wagyu steak inside, drenched in the honey. I think I just tweeted it out so y'all saw it.
I saw it and I'm appalled and angered more than ever.
Should be. That was, yeah.
That dude needs to be shot.
Yeah, hell, the Cracker Barrel story kind of ticked people off too. Yeah. They think it's a little political statement going on. I'm like, damn.
Yeah.
All right, I'm trying to make sure I'm keeping up with the 53-man cut down because if I just keep if I keep rolling in my brain trying to figure out how much $300 of honey is, there's no way that what I saw in that video was $300. What kind of honeybees?
It's got to, there's, you know, honey what? That, there's honey where that much will cost you $300.
That better cure cancer, man.
That's what I'm saying, bro. Like, it's got to clear up allergies and cure cancer and do quite a few things. But there's some things happening on the 53-man roster. Junior Tafuna has been cut. But more notably, Damon Arnett, and we've started seeing some cuts into that, more cuts into the defensive backfield, where Damon Arnett has now been released, as has Russ Yeast. I was mentioning,
okay,
I think we're getting closer, especially with Jalen Reed, seeming like he might be on the 53-man roster and might actually play sooner rather than later early on the season. I thought that that was portended an end for Russ Yeast, and that is the case. So as of right now, if my numbers are correct, which is quite possibly that they're not, because I'm flying up and down trying to make sure I keep track with this, with the tracker here, I think we're at 66 men, which means you're 13 away with some names that I think still are pretty easy cuts, at least in my mind, if not elsewhere. So where are we at in your mind? How are you looking at this?
Oh, man, I'm looking at the secondary still, and nothing has changed, and the wide receiver room. So out. Right now in the secondary, the cornerback room includes Derek Stingley, obviously, Lassiter, obviously, and then Jalen Smith and D'Angelo Ross, and that's it?
Did we see Tremont Smith get cut? Smith. I think Tremont
Smith
is still here. And do you view Damon Arnett going as a – do you think that that is at all saying something about Tremont Smith, or do you think that he's just kind of a placeholder until
– I think that's just the latest one we heard that was reported. But I do think, you know, obviously Jalen Smith is here. D'Angelo Ross seems to be one that, I thought that last game kind of did him in, you know, but maybe he's still going to hang there. And then the wide receiver room, which we know the vast majority of what, I mean, we already heard Quintez Cephas has been released. And as Cornell Powell, doesn't matter really, he will be, I'm sure, no offense. So it's really Justin Watson, Braxton Berrios, you know, pick your poison there.
Okay. Yeah. And, yeah. According to Aaron Wilson, Braxton Berrios has a good shot of making this roster, according to sources that he's talked to, whatever that was worth. Some other, there's a lot of notable cuts that have happened elsewhere, and I'm trying to kind of, I've been so locked in on the Texans that I haven't checked a lot of stuff, but one of the things that popped up football-wise, the Saints apparently named a starting quarterback. Spencer Rattler is the starting quarterback there. I don't know. What would have been the answer? There's not an answer that going to make you make that noise.
Clearly tanking, man.
Yeah.
They absolutely. Somebody said they got my boy Jakob. They did get Jakob Johnson. I cannot wait to listen through the drive and hear where this roster ends up, because I still think that there are some D'Nico Autry still is very intriguing to me because I think they could save money, and I think that they believe in Derek Barnett, Darrell Taylor, Dylan Horton. But, I mean, this team, they lean on the guys that they trust. Like, it's shown up in the way that they've started kind of doing this 53-man roster. The guys that they believe in has still been able to remain for the most part. And I feel like, I mean, D'Nico Autry is absolutely one of those guys, right?
No,
D'Angelo Ross might be one of those guys, considering.
D'Angelo Ross, but I think you're onto something with D'Nico Autry. Now, he's been reported as healthy. So who knows?
I think that report is hey, you're not going to have a he's going to get stashed like some of the guys that we've seen be stashed with injured reserve, and we can make that decision later or whatever.
And then the other one is Fadakasi and Tojiai.
Yeah, that one's still there.
You know how that plays out.
And somebody said if Ross is still on this team, it's favoritism. He's the only DB that has made no plays in the game nor practice. Yeah, that's the one where if he remains, and again, I think that he does a good job of like being around the play, but just the lack of plays being made, at least to my eye, feels like if that's the case, then I have even greater concerns than I had previously had about what the depth of defensive back-wise is. There's nothing has hit you that makes you kind of look sideways about starters, though, right? Like, it feels like all the way across, you feel good about what this team would be starting-wise. We're just talking about how the depth ultimately lines up, right?
Well, I mean, it depends on what you feel about the running back room. No Joe Mixon, that's the big story.
Yeah.
I like what I've seen from Nick Chubb, but boy, as I keep going back to that number, you know, 625 yards in the backfield last year, right now, with no Joe Mixon.
Right.
Total of 625 yards of the presumed starters.
Yeah.
That's something you gotta note.
All right, we got about an hour getting ready to hand over the responsibility of keeping up with the cuts to the fine fellas that are standing across from me. Before I get there, though, we were talking about, you know, the jackpot being out there and numbers getting up and maybe doing one of those company pools or group pools.
Mm-hmm.
Who at 6'10 do you trust to hold the ticket?
Me.
Okay. So, Figgy, who is – no, but sincerely, D&M Auto Leasing, appreciate them for giving us the opportunity to cross-talk. Yeah. I don't trust you as far as I can throw you.
Look, you know me. I would not. I would be,
and I ain't that strong to throw you that far. I'm gonna
be honest.
I would
be very honorable. I would uphold my commitment. I am the best person to hold that ticket.
100%. I will welcome in Clint Sterner, Ron Hughley of the Drive. Y'all, are y'all with Lopez? Y'all trust him to hold the ticket if we all go in on the jackpot?
Yeah.
Would I trust him?
Yeah.
Yeah. Trust him to hold a ticket?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're not.
Yeah, I know where he lives. That's right. I mean, we're talking about the kind of money where I mean, we can very easily.
Very I know easily where he lives. Of course, he can hold it.
I mean, you either pay up or you and your wife's life is going to be living hell for the rest of yours.
Yeah,
yeah, I think I trust him.
Yeah. Trust me.
No, I think y'all said that in a convincing manner. The most convincing thing that was said is I know where he lives. That was convincing. I believe that.
Yeah,
one.
Yeah, I mean. I mean, is your? I mean, clearly here.
You can say a lot of things about me, but you can trust me.
I'm trying.
I agree, Jay. Yeah.
You know the other options you have.
You can't trust Sean.
I mean, are you? What is the concern? Whoever's holding the ticket sees how much it is, and then tries to pull some story of like they bought it themselves. It wasn't a group deal. It wasn't a team deal.
Yeah. I wouldn't do that to you, fellas.
Somebody said Seth. Or somebody said
he'd forget where it was.
Clint is a good answer here. I think Clint's a good answer.
Clint's a good answer. Seth would forget. Where he
That's a great point. He's like, fellas, I don't know.
I wouldn't spend it.
Tyler would bolt. Tyler would bolt. 100%.
Tyler might spend it before we get to it.
I already got money. Why would I bolt with more of it?
That's right. Your wife's
all of a sudden, A&M's NIL would double.
Yeah. Oh, I'd be a booster immediately.
I'm like, damn, A&M has the number one recruiting class for the next 5 years somehow.
DC sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before. Right.
Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.